Welcome to VFN Radio Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is John Paul Ramos and Patrick Shane Hamilton.
Good morning.
And I'm Greg Zerl Lancaster, I guess.
Yes, you are.
Oh, we had a wonderful first hour. Can't wait to tell you more. God bless you. If you're at work, slide up to the desk, do a little tap, tap, pull the cup on your keyboard, and pull up your coffee. Those that are driving trucks to the workplace, listen, I was a carpenter, as you heard in the first hour. Have a good day. Crank up your radio and listen. This, I wish I would have BFN radio when I was a carpenter. And those that are riding around your cruisers all over America, enjoy BFN radio. We're for you. We support our officers. Give a shout out this morning to Teresa. Good morning, Teresa. Give a shout out this morning also to Rose and Aurora, Colorado. And Colorado just keeps coming out. California. It's Colorado. Hello, Rose. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to VFN Radio, the Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton in the studios.
Good morning.
Also joining me is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
We're coming to the very end of the first hour, and you began a conversation. We want to be able to pick that up. But, you know, first I want to say, you know, that my grandson's spending the week with me, my oldest grandson, David, and I just love David. And he's just so cool. You know, every kid has their own personality and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And we were able to give him his own. He's had progressive Bibles, you know, that you kind of get, you know. But now he's becoming a young man. And so we got his own Bible, you know, leather type Bible and all.
Wow.
And
he's very proud of that, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? I just love him. And he loves, and he's anyway, so.
How old is he?
He's 11.
11.
And so with that, Donna goes and checks on him. He's asleep, in his bed, sleeping. Mm-hmm. And he's laying in his bed, you know, laying in the bed in our home. And his Bible, his brand new Bible, is laying right beside him, you know, in the bed. And I'm like, just love that. Isn't that beautiful? And so he's abiding now. He's abiding, you know, every day, you know, if you're with us, you're going to abide,
that's right.
You know? and so he's reading Proverbs, you know, whatever the corresponding Proverbs, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, that today's proverb. But he's going, I have never, ever, ever seen this before in the Bible.
Right.
I'm like, Mama, you need to, you know. Anyway, so, but yeah, he's just so blown away that God has wisdom for him how to be able to handle situations. And it's just so encouraging. So anyway, so he's, you know, as there's something, we're working quite often for the Lord nonstop. It's amazing, you know. It was much easier being the police than being the ministry. I think I've been shot at more in the ministry than I did in law enforcement, even though I did get shot at. And he's telling me, oh, you're going to be free in a minute. You're going to be free in a minute. I'm going back from my office. We're going to the studios. We're doing all this different stuff, and we're filming. And, you know, we broadcast to all of our churches, you know, during the week on VFN TV. And then we have all the things happening. We're just, you know, it's just a media nonstop, you know, time. In addition, you know, abiding with God. So you're hearing him all the way through what you're doing. And, of course, he just wants to spend time with granddaddy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay. And he says, well, you go swimming with me. And I'm like, yes, I'll go swimming with you. And so we get in the pool, you know, I finally make it to the pool. You know, children are so important. Children help you to remember to play. You know, we got to remember to play, you know. Like John, he reminds us to play, right? He's not a child, but he definitely reminds us
to play.
And so we're in the pool, and of course I'm exhausted because I'm working all the time. So I'm floating, you know, I'm at the age, we just float. What do? I float in the pool. That lazy rivers at all those water parks, that's for us. We just float around. While you run all these up and down these slides, we just kind of float around. Happy as can be. No, we're not sad. And I'm just floating there, and he goes, this is not fun. I go, yes, it is. Look, let's just start looking in the clouds and making, what do you see in the clouds? He goes, I see a whale. He saw a whale. And I said, well, I saw an eagle. We saw this, you know, after about 15 animals, like, okay, we've seen some clouds. And then he's like, come on. And he tips me over. I am floating. Oh, he tips me over, and I have to then play.
It's on now.
It's on now, you know. And he's beginning to really swim good and go in the distance of the pool underwater, and we were racing each other. We just had a real good time spending time with my grandson. We're looking forward to tomorrow. You know, we're going to spend some time tomorrow after the program tomorrow, and it's just cool. I want to encourage you, if you have not, you know, spend some time with your children or your grandchildren, you know, take time to do that. They can teach you to play. They can remind you of those things. And those are precious moments. They go by and then they grow up.
Oh, no.
You know, I was sitting, he probably won't let me say this, but I'm going to say it. We were sitting on the couch and he wanted me to go watch this old movie. I don't know what it was, like one of those Ted Turner Broadcasting old movie thing. What's that called? That old movie station plays these black and white movies? I don't know what it is. And those, our listeners in Atlanta can let us know. It's right there off the main drag. But anyway, so I'm passed out. And I can't watch stuff like that. I just pass out. You know, it's like, this is good. How was that movie? Oh, man, it was great. I slept all the way through it. There was just one scene that woke me up, and then I went back to sleep. So he's facing away from me, and he's holding my pinky the whole time, my finger. Mm-hmm. The whole time he's holding on my finger, you know, and just watching that. And I'm being close to him. He's being close to me. And we're just sitting back there. And his grandmother's, you know, sitting right there. And we're just having a wonderful time. And, you know, it's just so cool. You know, it's just spend time with your family, you know, while there is time. And love on them. And it'll remind you of the things of God. Just, I love spending time with my grandson, David. Well, today is the, what, 9th, right? It's the 9th mm-hmm. of the month. And we always do the corresponding word for wisdom from Proverbs. So if it's the 9th of the month, we look at the 9th chapter of Proverbs. And today we're going to pick a couple verses out of that, which is very important. I think it's pretty relevant, you know, when I think about it, that in Proverbs chapter 7 through 9, we just want to get some wisdom in our lives. You know, wisdom's so important. Just like David said, when he's reading the wisdom of Proverbs, he's going, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is good. You know, and wisdom just keeps you. So Proverbs 9,
right?
Chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. Thank you. That was wonderful. Totally wonderful. Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse 7 through 9 reads: "This is our wisdom moment for today. Whoever corrects a mocker." This is so important. Listen to this. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Mm-hmm. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse.
Mm.
Right?
Wow.
That's
the truth.
Yeah, right. I think I just got insulted. I just incurred abuse. That must mean I'm talking to a mocker. Right?
That's right, yeah.
Sometimes you don't know until you in that encounter. So he says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult, whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. But listen to this. It goes on to say in verse 8, do not rebuke a mocker or he'll hate you. He'll hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you don't know which one they are until you bring correction.
That's right.
That explains a lot.
It explains an awful lot. It's like, okay, you're loving me for it, so that means you're wise, and you're hating me for it, that means you're a...
Mocker,
right?
Right.
Okay. So then, and who wants to do it anyway, right?
I know.
Verse 9 says, instruct a wise man and he'll be wiser still. Mm. Wise people like, no, tell me. I want to know. Give me some feedback. I mean, if it's a good source, you know, you mm-hmm. don't. But you say, yeah, I want to know. What is it like to you? Well, I want to know. Because a wise person's willing to learn. They're just a person that understands that you're forever learning. And he says, teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. That's good. You know, a mocker, a fool just goes, I already know it all already. I don't need to know anything. A wise man says, come on, no, tell me. No,
please. Tell me.
Oh, I need to know.
Where do you get that book at? So you think about it. The wisdom moment for today is whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. You know, and quite often, you know, you are made to look like the mocker by the mocker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the truth is you were just loving on someone. You know, you were loving on them. You wanted things good for them, but they just wouldn't listen. And whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Well, realize that sometimes you don't know what's there until you share, you know, what God has on your heart to be able to share at the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out, you know, there's lots of love or lots of abuse and insult,
right.
You know. And it's amazing. Discipline's been so messed up today in the church that even ministers who you know, preach from the Word of God, they can't, it's just they feel like they just can't be open to learn something.
Right.
You know, they can't be open to say it was right for a season, but I need to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother Ken says this, my spiritual father, Ken Summary, writes in his book, Flexible Wineskins. I don't know if I have that book here or not. But in there he says, listen, I hope those that are related to me, those who know that you know, what brought him to the place that it brought him to, he's saying that if this thing starts happening that way and it's totally a sectarian type ruler, what we call today tradition,
right.
You know, that I'd hope you break free. I'd hope you just go do like I did.
Right.
You know, and we have to understand that every one of us has to be open. If you're really open for correction, then you're very careful how you give it, because you know that you could be wrong, and you have to be open for that.
But a foolish man defends what he knows, and a wise man is willing to grow.
Oh, that's good. Say it again.
A foolish man defends what he knows, but a wise man is willing to grow. Where have we come to this place where we have to hold on, because this way God moved before, this is what happened. We just hold on to this instead of putting everything, every situation before the Lord.
Well, think about this. I was talking to someone,
right,
and a leader person, and I saw, you know me, I'm wanting you to make it.
Right.
I'm wanting you to make it. I'm really wanting you to make it here. You know, I'm honoring you. You know, I'm praying for you, been praying for you.
Loving on you.
Loving on you. I'm only here because I have a fear of the Lord. And I had, you know, a prophetic leading of what's going to be happening in America, you know, from what we're hearing, kind of put together and just kind of share so that they could be prepared for what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in this meeting, weren't you? In the meeting?
Oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't listen to nothing.
Mm-mm.
Not one thing.
Wow.
And so finally, I just had to go, well, you're not going to receive it.
Right.
And so I had to reach back and take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's what happened.
And it was love. It was like, don't you want to know? Don't you want to learn? Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to know what's about to happen? Do you really know it all?
Right.
Is God not real? Do you not fear the Lord? Do you fear man? Then you more, you know, I'm talking about believers, you know, people who profess to be Christians. I'm talking about the world. We're not talking, never is VFN Radio for the world. VFN Radio is for the church, which are believers, not buildings or organizations. Mm-hmm. It is for the one who's gone astray, and it's for the one who's being drawn to the Lord. This is what we're always talking to. So if you profess to be a believer, you know, I'm talking in that context of that.
Right.
And mm-hmm. if somebody doesn't want to hear what somebody may perceive that God's saying.
Right.
Hundreds of people are perceiving what God's saying. Then that's a dangerous situation. That's a mocker. That's right. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult, and whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, he'll hate you, but rebuke a wise man. And rebuke is not like a, you know, it's just saying that's not right.
Right.
You know? Not like that's
from mocker is a person who's just prideful. It's just like, oh my goodness.
Right.
I mean, a humble person is going to say, hey, what do you have to say?
Yeah.
I was like, pride is a scary thing because it's so blinding, you know, where all of a sudden you begin to believe your own hype. You yep. believe everything they tell you, and everything that comes across your mind is absolutely perfect and right.
Right.
And that's, you know, another reason why it's so important to be abiding and spending time with the Lord. You know, the Word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. And right. says, you know what? I need to run this by the Lord. I need to run this by wise counsel.
And sometimes, you know, we could be deceived by thinking because I have a lot of people that are supporting me, then I'm right, you know, especially in the political atmosphere.
Right.
But Jim Baker wrote a book. What was the name of his book?
I was wrong.
Because that's what happened to him. Everybody told him what they thought he wanted to hear, and they didn't tell him the truth.
Great book.
And understanding that you can put people around you that are telling you things, you know, that make you feel good, but you want a wise person wants mm-hmm. people around them that tells them the truth. And you'll notice a mocker will avoid, you know, Ahab was a mocker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ahab yeah. did not, he hated Elijah. He's like, here he comes again, you know, here he comes again. He's yeah. going to tell me. I know, you know, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
He never prophesies anything good
about me. You don't know. It's like,
still doing something bad.
Yeah, just tell me something good. Well, you can buy those up the street, but you know, and so, you know, I think Baal's up the street somewhere, right? Anyway, yeah. Balaam, I meant, and so Baal's up the other street,
right?
And yeah, but Ahab is what he felt like. He's like, you know, the thing about it is when God's talking to us. He's loving on us. He's letting us know that, hey, you know, if we go the direction God's saying, he's going to bless us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But a mocker doesn't understand that. A mocker is just trying to defend themselves, not realizing that, you know, but a wise man's going, thank you. I never saw it from that perspective. I mean, even if you don't agree with it, at least you're listening. You know, perception is reality to people. I mean, people will lock in to what they perceive to be real. And right. they will lock their faith into it. And next thing you know, you're just stuck with their perception. And so you have to understand, help people in their realities, you know, what's going on right there. But today's a wisdom moment. And the big question is that if you know if the person is struggling with a mocking spirit, if you know that the person's, you know, prideful. Right. And do you bring correction? Well, the thing about it is that you don't necessarily know. You still have to talk about God. You can't just shut down. I mean, right. you could have a mocker in your family. You could have a mocker in your marriage. You could have a mocker in your workplace. You could be a business owner or a governmental leader that has mockers in your organization, in your government institutional. And you have to deal with that. You can't just let that go. You can't say, okay, we correct everybody but the mocker. And that's what normally happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they don't say anything to the mocker.
Because they swoop up.
They abuse them. They're going to talk bad about them. They're going to do all these things, and everybody else is going to suffer the consequences of a fool because the leader will not deal with a mocker. The thing is, you got to be willing to deal with insult and abuse to be a leader.
Right.
You're going to have to be willing that everybody's not going to be, you know, your friend. You know, mockers are not going to go woohoo. I mean, even when we're going through discipline, we're not like, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
May I have 30 more? You know? It ain't like that. But we come out of that. You know, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. But the thing about it is, if your workplace is all over the map and you're not dealing with that mocker in your office, everybody just cringes with that, and they see that, and they're suffering the abuse of that. If you're not dealing with the mocker in your household, this is what the proverb says: when the mocker leaves. When the mocker's present, strife is there.
Mm-hmm.
But when the mocker leaves, peace is present.
Right.
So, I mean, don't you want peace in your organization? Don't you want peace in your family? Somebody says, the mocker goes, I'm out of here. It's like, okay, where do you pack your stuff at? Where do you need to go?
Let's help you with that box. Come here.
I'm telling you, no doubt. Okay, I got your things packed up in a little shoebox right here. And then just peace comes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just peace comes. You know, and we have to replace, you know, we have to place these mindsets and realize, you know, we have to deal with that because we want wise leaders, wise parents, wise bosses, wise, you know, governmental leaders
mm-hmm.
that don't have, they're not strifeful, they're not, you know, insulting, they're not, you know, all those different things that come with it. And it sounds like a Jezebel spirit to me.
Yeah. You've probably seen it. I've seen it in the workplace, you know, where there's this one person that has that spirit on them. and people begin to rally around that person. It just jumps all over the place. But as soon as that one person is no longer there and is removed, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The peace that, right. that settles down. It's like, oh my goodness, that thing was so strong on this one person. You know, what they're really contending with themselves or contending with the truth is like, well, once they're removed, it's like that log jam. You know, that we should take that one log out. The rest of the logs will flow down the river.
You know, the big thing is that I think about the book by Dr. Cloud, Henry Cloud. He wrote, he surveyed like for 20 years, all these different chief executive officers. He's a Christian, but he surveyed them and learned things from them. And it's called Integrity. It was right. called Integrity, the courage to face the demands of reality. And he talks about that this one CEO had the sales force. And in the sales force, they had this one particular man who could sell, you know, sand to the ocean. You know what I'm saying? He could just sell anything. You know, he just could sell anything, which yeah. means he increased the bottom line of the business.
Right.
But yet, he was horrific when it came to dealing with the people that was the other employees and the ones that supported him, because nobody can, in a business, it takes all the parts to be able to function. And they were constantly being hurt by this person.
Right.
But yet the CEO needed to have, the whole thing's about integrity. Did he have the courage to face the demands of reality? Was he willing to change his bottom line of his business to a lower number to be able to satisfy the reality of what this guy, because sometimes you can be good at a task and sometimes you can be good at relationships, but with God, you got to be good at both. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to love people on the way to where you're going and what you're doing. Both right. of those things. It's called a wake. We need to talk about that in the future, but, and the wake doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. And so you can look at somebody, you think about, let's just stay this for a moment because we're talking about a mocker. Yeah. This is a wake. When you're sitting on a boat, and the boat is going through the water, and you're sitting on the back of the boat, which I think is called the fantail, or the aft of a boat, and you're looking where the shape of the water when you're pulling away. You're going through the water, so you're leaving a mark in the water, if you have a temporary little mm-hmm. mark or shape, and it actually is identical. It's identical to the shape of the boat. So if it's a big boat, it's the shape of the boat. Mm-hmm. And they call it the wake. It's making a wake. Mm-hmm. And the wakes don't lie. Mm-hmm. They just don't lie. And you look at the wake and you know the shape of the boat.
Right.
And so with that, think about it. There's two sides to a wake, right? You got one side and the other side. Mm-hmm. One side is relationships and one side is task. And if somebody's good with relationships, but they're not good with tasks, that is so, you know, they're like, I really like them, but nothing's getting done.
Right.
You know, I like them, but we're starving and nobody's working, you know, mm-hmm. I like them, you know, but then you have the others that are good just at task, but they're not good at relationship. I mean, you cringe in their presence, but you know, they're going to do the job. And they pride themselves. Look at my numbers. You know I'm doing? Look at the bottom line of the company.
Right.
And they say, I don't need to get along with so-and-so. Look, did you see this? I just made a big sell.
That's right.
Right. But the wake has two sides. Everybody has a wake. And this is what Dr. Henry Cloud says. You know, that the wake doesn't lie. That one side of the wake is relationship and one side is task. You know, and you can say what you want to, but everybody knows your wake. Mm. And when you go through the waters of life and you look behind you, and if one side of the paradigm, the relationship side, you have all these offended people, all these hurt people, you know, you cannot point at the other side of the task and say everything's okay.
Right.
Because that CEO had to come to the office and he had to decide, I'm just going to go in for the bottom line here. Because his staff, his employees came to him and said, if you do not get rid of this person, this is what they said. If you don't get rid of this person, we're leaving you. And he was trying to study in this book, why do businesses end up the way they do? Why have we made so many mistakes and we made a ton of them? Mm-hmm. And it happens even in the church, even in the father's business, in the church, where the church says if somebody's good at tasks, but they're not good at relationship, that is a big warning sign that you need to set that person down, because task means nothing if there's no relationship, because you know the Word of God says if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. You know, right. It just boils down to it.
So you're doing something for God that you're messing up the relationship with God, the person you're supposed to be ministering to.
Right.
You know? Right.
I
like what Cloud says in that book as well. So that people are they enjoying your wake and skiing and having fun on the back of it? Or is your wake so choppy that they become shark bait because they're bouncing all over?
Yeah. Right. And you'll find out, you know, where it's tension between the two.
Right.
Because to be able to have good relationships, sometimes you have to make less money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just throw people on the fire of your success. And it happens all the time, you know. And you can't just throw tasks on the relationship. So you got to take care of the mundane things. You got to balance that. And it causes a person to cry out to God. It causes a person to say, I have to provide for my family. You know, but I cannot just forego a relationship with my family while I'm providing for them.
Right.
And so, you know, understanding this, that, you know, the wake does not lie. I mean, if you have not read, I think the church needs to read Dr. Henry Cloud's book. Make sure we put that up on the VFN TV blog. But you got to read this book, because it's a study of the actual happenings of CEOs in our country. And the title of the book is Integrity, the Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. And this is the question for us today, you know, as we're coming to an end of the wisdom moment here, is do we have the integrity to do what reality demands from us right now?
Mm.
Because America is facing a time right now where the church is going to have to repent. We're going to have to, even though we look like contradictions in the beginning when we start doing what's right, because we were just doing what was wrong.
Right.
We have to let them know the only one is good is God anyway. Jesus said, who are you calling good? And we're preaching our gospel. It's his gospel. And our only hope is God. And so we begin to say, I'm going to work on my relationships. I'm going to work on my task. And I'm going to repent for being a mocker. And I want to be a wise person. And I want to receive a multitude of counsel in this. And I mean, it's just hard to honor a fool, you know, and understand that we need to be able to humble ourselves, and we got to be able to know that if we are a parent, if we are a leader in an industry, if we are a governmental leader, for example, God has allowed that, and God will honor that, you know, if we humble ourselves and we just say, you know, God, I want to do it your way. I don't want to be a mocker. I don't want to be insulting people. I don't want to be, you know, all those things that come with being a mocker. I don't want to, you know, abuse people or abuse my power as a parent, as a business owner, as a governmental leader. I just want to be wise. I want to learn, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to grow. And just like God, you know, when I ask for forgiveness, God forgives me. You know, God will forgive you. And he'll surprise you. You know, mm-hmm. He's very good. He's very merciful. And he's very loving. Totally 100% awesome. That's the wisdom moment for today. That's Proverbs 9, chapter 7 through 9. Chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will even be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. We'll be right back in a moment. You might not know this, but we have the VFN TV blog, the VFN radio blog. It's a blog where we're talking to you all the time about all the different things, God's news behind the news, some really funny things, some things like dreams that we're having about heaven and prophetic words and conversations. You know, we want to take it to the next level. And we do that on the VFN TV blog. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be hearing something on the radio. We're talking about the blog. It's the VFN TV blog. You can get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the blog. And it's a button on the menu that tells you how to get there. And you go over there and it has all these things we've been talking about in the program. You can search for it. You can even subscribe to the blog itself. If you hover over in the right-hand corner, something pops out from the right side and it says subscribe. What that means is every time there's a new entry in the blog, it will go into your email, whatever your email account is, and it'll be sitting there on your computer. What we do also with that is quite often that whatever we were talking about on the radio that day about that particular topic in that segment, you have an MP3 link right in there. So you got the videos of what we're talking about. You have the pictures of what we're talking about. You have the resources. You know, sometimes we're talking about something, you need to find out where it was that heard from. And you also can click on the link and you begin to hear it just like an MP3. It will play right on your iPhone. You can share it with your Facebook friends. It's a great way. You know, you can hear the word of wisdom for that day, and you can take that link, copy it, and put it on your Facebook and share it with your friends, and all those people will be encouraged. There's so many things available for you on the VFN TV blog. It's the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program blog. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my, has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad. And, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now. Mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV. And the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad. And they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone. And we have an app for your Android. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly that app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio Program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. I remember, do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness, and we were raising money? You remember that? I don't know if I have time to talk about this. I might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with a, it might have been me, came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. We need to have a raffle. And, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like, a TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said, over and over, this is not a lottery. This is, we're just going to, you know, a dollar for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had. And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV. And I sat there and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well, we're having a lottery. I mean, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God. In the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me for this last half hour of the extra hour is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. John, you were just talking to us, you know, about, you know, what you're doing with your son, and it's so exciting. Can you tell us some more, man?
Oh, well, you know, this is very, very exciting because we have the opportunity to take this time where we can go to the wilderness and spend one-on-one time, 4 or 5 days together during this time. And the really cool thing about this is that we want to be able to give our son a vision for manhood. You know, it's our responsibility. It's my responsibility as a father, as a dad into his life to be able to do that. And so we have some things set up in place. I have some things set up in place for him where, you know, the goal that we want Elijah to know. And I think that every boy, and this is good for our girls as well, for our daughters. But in this case, we're taking my son, X, he's the oldest, at home, that we want him to know that he's loved, you know, that we love him, that he has family.
That's
and
so cool.
You know, that love him. And most of all that, you know what? God loves you. You know, right now in America, I mean, it's like no one's, we have this, be joyful and celebrate, you know, who God made us to be. You know what I mean? And so we want to celebrate his maleness. God made you male. It's okay to be a boy, but you know, God's transitioning you and you're becoming a man. And so we want for him to walk out with, you know, a vision for his life. And oftentimes I think that we wait too long to start talking to our young people and our kids about, you know, the future and what are you going to do with your life and how should you conduct yourself? You know, this is a very impressionable time for their, you know, for young people, 12, 13 years old in middle school, their body's changing, their emotions are changing. And so now while I am still his hero, you know what I mean? To be able to impart to him what it means to be a man. If you asked, you know, we've ministered to men for so many years. And I love being in a men's group, by the way. I mean, I love when we get together and men just get together and worship God. It's just something that's so dynamic. But if you would ask the average man, you know, when did you know you were a man? You know, you'll get 20 different responses. Maybe when I had my first job or, you know, maybe when I had a drink or something.
You're not talking about when did I realize I was a male. You're talking about when did I realize I was
a man.
A man, right.
Big difference. Big difference, you know, maybe when I got my first job or got kicked out of my house or got my first, maybe I became a man. But when did someone affirm you in your manhood? And that's what our young males are need. They need to be affirmed that it's okay to be male, but it's definitely okay to be a man. And so we really want him to walk out with a vision for his life, where he sees himself. And it's a journey because these 4 or 5 days that we're going to be in the wilderness and we're going to be going whitewater raft. Elijah, if you're listening now, go ahead and turn
off the radio.
Oh my goodness. You don't think I let it out? Go ahead.
You can turn it out, but we're going to be doing a whitewater rafting.
Oh my God. You're going to do whitewater rafting. Oh, that's so awesome. That is so cool.
We're going to do zip line and a whole bunch of just cool fun things out
there.
It's going
to be video so we can see you going on the zipline.
Yeah. Make sure you video this.
No, listen, you're bringing him into manhood, so you can't be screaming like a girl when you're going on the zipline.
I told him, I said, you think we should go hunting out there for our food?
That would be funny.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. So I said, you know, maybe we can eat squirrel. You know, squirrels taste just like chicken, but the only thing is that the hair gets stuck in between your teeth. And I was just rolling. I was just laughing. And he looks at Dad, forget about it. You know, can we just do some hot dogs and hamburgers? I said, Dad, that'll work fine.
You're going to eat squirrel? No, pretty man. Little cute little squirrels, man. Like the chipmunks, like the cartoon?
I don't eat squirrel, but I will eat a cow. I will have some hamburgers and some steak. So we want him to have a vision for himself. We want him to walk
I do want to say to all of our PETA listeners that God loves you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we wanted to walk away with a vision, like I said, a code of conduct, you know, how he can start envisioning, you know, conducting himself. And we want him to live for a cause or start introducing a concept, which we have already, but a cause that's greater than himself. And that's really it's really the Lord. I mean, if you're a believer, you know, life is not supposed to be about us. You know, we're not supposed to find our enjoyment and total satisfaction in a me-centered lifestyle. I know Madison Avenue's try to convince me that we need that vacation and that house and those cars and all those things so that we can be happy. But really, true joy is when we know God and we're giving our lives on behalf of others. You know, and that's the purpose that we have in life, is to know God and to glorify Him, is to honor Him in everything that we do. And so throughout this period of time, we're just going to share with Him some really cool things and going to give Him some commemorative gifts that He'll be able to point to, so that when we do return and we do come back, that we really started this journey. We've begun this journey. We're going to walk these themes out. We're going to talk about being wisdom. A man is a man of character and integrity, like we were talking about before. I mean, how important is that for a young man or a young woman in that case to start learning integrity at 12? Not when their first job and they don't show up and don't do
it. Right.
Wait a second. You know, there's something that you're missing, you know? And we're just thrilled that we have this opportunity to be able to do that for him. And so it's going to be an amazing time. I'm looking forward to it. I know he's looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to being there for him and with him on this journey called life and on this journey into manhood.
Well, you think about it, it's – you know, the biggest concern with men is that quite often we're thinking like, oh, we're not going to do it right. We're not going to do it perfect.
Right.
And the dangerous thing is not to do it at all.
Right.
You know, because if your heart is right and you love them and you're doing your best,
right,
and you're abiding with the Lord, you're saying, you know, you love, you're praying over it, God will just anoint that. He will just anoint that, and they'll remember that. They'll remember, you know, that the day that you acknowledged them. Because at 13, you know, the Jewish laws were that at 13 years old, you know, historically they were able to sign contracts. They were begin to, you know, go into their relationships and do different things. It's actually happening. We're just not acknowledging it until, you know, mm-hmm. until later on. Yeah. But, you know, just we have these brilliant-minded creations called teenagers that are smart, intelligent, you know, some of the creators of a lot of things that are technical today, you know, playing with it, the technology, because nobody's acknowledged them as like, you can be productive now. You know, you can be functioning now. For somehow they have to survive in this culture that refuses to acknowledge them as who they are, smart, living, accountable, need to be accountable to society, right, and accountable to their parents. But as they do that, then it will progress. You know, God's design is always much better. So, you know, an idle mind, an intelligent idle mind, is truly a devil's playfield.
Right.
You know, and beginning to work. I think about several people. You know, I was 13 years old when I began to work, mm-hmm. and I was working at an assisted living facility. You know, kind of helping out with my father, but then my father got sick and he had to go to surgery, in Ossner's Clinic in New Orleans, and I lived in.
Wow.
I lived in Florida, and so he had an Ossner Clinic in New Orleans. So I had to run the whole 40-bed assisted living facility with a couple staffers and, you know, all the things you do with that at 13 years old.
Right.
We bought groceries, you know. We went to the stores and had, like, you know, six buggies worth of food. We planned menus. We, you know, it was like having a whole bunch of grandmothers and grandfathers. It was wonderful, you know, as a 13-year-old. But I had to take on that responsibility. But it really helped me. It helped me at a young age to be able to learn what life is all about.
Right. And I think many today, and you know, you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. You know, and I think that sometimes we in society have robbed our children of some of these great things that they can be doing. I mean, work is a wonderful thing in life. Mm. It teaches you so much.
What a concept.
What a concept. You know, I remember close to that age myself. I mean, I used to have a paper route that I would get up at 5:30 every morning. And you have kids that are sleeping until 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. not doing anything, you know?
For those that have never touched a piece of paper or newspaper, he's actually talking about they used to print stuff on a piece of paper, and they would take it and throw in people's yards, believe it or not, and they would walk out to their front yard, and they would pick up this piece of paper, and they would go drink a cup of coffee, and they would read it. I know now you get it on your iPad, your iPhone. But I was just joking around. I'm sure
that's true. But that's what I did at 5:30 in the morning. Went to school, and then after that, I worked at a mall, right? You know, and a retail store. And one thing that I learned, and I'm so grateful that my parents helped me and encouraged me in that area, was that I learned the value of a dollar. You know, when people were buying things, and they'll say, you know, I love when children say, "Well, that's only $150." I'm like, well. Go ahead and give me your checkbook, man. It's only, you know, when I wanted to buy something as a young man, if the shirt was $20 or the game was $25, I'd say, well, you know, I make $5 an hour and I work 3 hours a day. That was like, you know, when I was a teenager, that's a day and a half. You know, give me that $10.
Right. It's sort of like losing weight. You know, when you're losing weight and you're working with somebody, they tell you, you know, oh, don't worry, eat what you want to. But then they have you do all this exercise for like an hour and says, well, you just burned off this many calories. And so then you start thinking about, you look at a hamburger as a culprit. It's like, cost me an hour's worth of exercise.
Yeah.
And you can, when you get involved in the knowledge of things, how they work, you start self-correcting.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's good.
It matters, and we need to help them grow into that character. Because you know what? We the minute our children are born, they're entrustments to us, and we're going to be held accountable to God on how we raised them, how we instructed them, how we taught them, and we're preparing for that day that they will leave. You know,
and the interesting thing is that the society, you know, we've let the society get turned upside down now, that just like the birds that we talked about the other day on the radio about how the birds came. They laid the eggs. They mothered and fathered the eggs. They hatched. They fed them. And then the birds launched. They went out and they flew. And that society now, the government that we have, keeps on retying children back to a parent and a household that at the same time tying the parent's hand to be able to be the parent that God would say they need to be able to raise that child. And all the way up to the age of 25 years old now, which is half of 50. I mean, it's half of 50 years old. It's like, come on now, 50. You should be half of 50. You should be doing something by now. You know, you should be living off my insurance policy by now. And you should be taking care of my insurance policy at 25 years old. And you think about this.
Okay. We're getting so excited about this topic because it's so true. You think about it. It's like, oh my goodness. 25 years old, what has happened to America that God forbid that someone should struggle? Right. Is struggling a bad word? It's in the struggle. It's in the learning. It's in the doing without that a person can actually grow. You know, when you have some resistance, you're actually able to exert some force. You know what I'm saying? It's like, who lied to us? You know, it's like
when you go to college, you know, as you're under 25 years old, they actually relate you back a 25-year-old man. They say, you need to go back to mommy and daddy and find out get all their information as if he or she is connected and being parented as a child, which keeps them in this place of adolescence and they never, this permanent place of adolescence, and they never grow up, which is a strategy, by the way. They don't want you to grow up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw this thing that somebody had a picture or something up on Facebook. It made such good sense. You know, it said, and I think that there's a time for every one of us that we need assistance, we need help, things crash, things don't work, but it's not forever. Right. And that it said on the same agricultural department in the federal government who's over the parks is also over the food and food supply and that type of thing. And if you have financial difficulty, you know that you can go down there and they will to whatever their office is and they'll give you we call it food stamps, but it's not. It's like a SNAP card or something now. And they'll help you out with food. We have a lot of Americans out by right. getting food. And it's hard sometimes to come off of that. And sure. But the same same, and it's good. I think it's good that we're feeding people that need to be fed. I think it's a good thing. But the same agriculture department has, they're over the parks. And this is the signs that they say in the parks. The signs they have a bear in this picture. And on the sign it says, do not feed the animals because they may become dependent. Right. You know, on human feeding. And it's like, wait a minute. So you do know what's going on. You know, instead of empowering this person who's going through a difficult time and helping them out and helping them build vision for their future, you're not even mentioning the fact that they're going to become dependent on you and you're going to control them. You know, it's whoever controls the finances controls the vision. And if you know an animal, it's like Jude says, you know, in the book of Jude, he says, you know, you argue about what you don't know. And like unreasoning animals, the very things you do know are destroying you. And you can't do those things without huge consequences if it's not the right government, if it's the wrong mindsets and the wrong motives. If we get back to our original intent of America, it's the right motives. You know, we want to be able to help people, to empower them, the American dream. They want you to do better than the last generation. They want you to be able to own your own business. And people come to our country because they believe in the American dream, but they have to employ Americans who no longer believe in the dream anymore.
Right. And because they think that a lot of them think that it's an entitlement. Yeah. America owes me. Somebody owes me. It's one thing. I want to help my sons and all the sons, you know, right. and daughters of America is to say that, you know what? You can work. You can be productive. You can add value in society. I learned so funny here in New York. I was a kid. I remember my parents had to go into the city for something. I really can't remember, but I knew that this was going to be like an all day event. So I was spending the afternoon with my grandfather. And one of the things you'll know about New York City, if you've never been here, is that you can take a trip, but you better be prepared to find some place to park your vehicle because yes. there's no parking anywhere.
Anywhere. I never heard of triple parking until I got to New York.
I remember one time Teresa and I went out and it took us 45 minutes just to find a parking spot 6 blocks away from where we wanted to go. But anyway, it's a different story. Well, I saw these men that were in this parking lot. I mean, my grandfather and I, since they couldn't find any parking, we were kind of circling around and kind of found some place to park momentarily. And we were watching these men. There was huge signs in this little parking lot for this building that my parents were in that said, there is no valet parking. But these men would come, and I found this out later after talking to them, that they would come and do parking. Okay, these guys worked there. I mean, they didn't work. There's huge signs that we have no valet parking, but these guys were – people were entrusting them with their keys, okay? And they were moving out cars in and out and reserving spots for other people while they were – and I thought, wow, this is amazing. These guys are working, you know, making a living. People call that sometimes, you know, just – anyway – so I got the bug. I'll never forget this. Later on, somebody on the street, I had a whole experience as a kid in New York, you know, someone broke down. And so I got out there and just started helping them out and fixing their tire. I was bored and just helping them out. And a guy turns over and says, here's $5 for you. And I said, man, look at that. I was so empowered just by helping out and doing something. And we need to start allowing our young people and our kids to start getting involved in the process. They may mess it up. They may not do it as nice as we're going to do it. They may not do it perfect. But if we can instruct them and teach them and help them, I think that we're going to have some better citizens in our country.
That's one of the main things. And we're actually, when you're training people up, you know, obviously if they don't know yet, a lot of people don't go to college because they don't think they know enough. That's like, what are you talking about? Right. You don't know. That's what you go there. You go there because you don't know. They go there to learn. If it's a good college, you need to learn some good things. But that we have to be willing to trust, like God entrusted to us, you know, imperfect people, and trust people to go through the learning process, you know, to give people time to learn. And you have to be willing, even though you could actually, a parent, for example, even though you could sweep that floor better, even though you could make that bed better, and when they finish making it, you don't want to criticize how they made it. You don't want to say, oh, it needs to be, you know, you got mommy dearest going on over here, you know, or daddy dearest. You want to just say, you want to get them involved and progressively move them through the process. When you're training people up, that's what you want to do. And so you got to be willing for it to be done at a lesser level than you could have done it, just so they can get in the process and start learning to do it themselves. So many people just say, let me do it. Let me just do it. It's like, if we keep doing that, what we're seeing in America is they're never going to know how to do it.
They're never going to learn. And if we don't father them, mm-hmm. you don't mother them, we don't father them, they're going to stay with us forever. You know, that's what's happening. You know,
It's like the guy said today, I think it's time for me to leave my mother's house. Yeah, I'm just tired of her splitting my social security check with her. you're 65 years old, son. It's time for you to move on. But that's it. You know, learning how to grow up, or the fact that you're taking Elijah out to be, that's really cool. And I think every father should be encouraged to be able to go out and to take some time to spend with their child and affirm them. And we want to hear a report how it goes. So you're going to be leaving this week. I don't want to say too many details about when and where and all that kind of stuff. But understanding that we'll keep you in our prayers for that. You know what I'm saying? This is exciting. I wish I was there. Don't forget, if it's about manhood, don't scream and squeal when you're going down that road. Get that kind of look on your face, that I'm the man look, I suffer in silence. And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of pictures. And the other thing I'll say about that, too, is that it's so wonderful to have friends and family that are joining in this process, because one of the things that I was a criminal justice major in college, and one thing that I learned.
What's that? What?
A criminal justice major.
Oh, are you? Okay. All right.
I do have a degree in criminal justice. I wasn't. Yeah. Well, I did take this one class in juvenile justice, and what's so funny about it is that one thing I learned in there was that they say there's as many as you try to get your child involved with as many things or activities as possible, and get them involved in other relationships besides yourself. Because what that's going to do is help you in this process in raising your son or your daughter. When the child is going through a rough time and they're not listening to you, you've put other believe it or not, you put other people around them that they're going to have to go through. They're going to have to speak to the coach. They're going to have to speak to the pastor. They're going to have to speak to the band leader. Why, I wasn't able to make practice. And it seems like you're seeing so many people isolated and don't want to get their children involved and want. Get them involved. Get them involved with family. Get them involved with the church. Get them involved, in activities that are going to support your values, so that it's all of us together. And so I'm appreciative of the church. I'm appreciative of my friends and family that are joining with us in this process. And I know that's going to make all the difference in the world to Elijah as well.
Well, I believe it was the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, wrote a book that says it's a village. It takes a village to raise a kid. In the church, it takes all of the members of the church to work together as a family.
Right.
Just anybody in the village can't raise your child. It's the church itself, those that are believers, and that we go, we'll follow the Lord's ways of being able to parent in those different aspects of it. But can you believe we're coming to the end of the extra hour?
Wow, it's been an amazing program today. Very enlightening.
Well, I appreciate you sharing with us, man. I'm excited about hearing a report of what's going on. I know you got something else you're going to share with us in the future about, giving God glory in our lives. It's one thing about David. David was dedicated to being good at the mundane because he understood the mundane is where he brought God glory. You know what I'm saying?
We're definitely going to be sharing that. It's going to be very encouraging. It's going to bring a lot of hope and give us different perspective to our everyday task and everything that we have to do.
Well, I want to say all of our listeners out there how much we are just excited about hearing from you. Don't forget about the VFN TV blog. We just want to encourage you. We're talking about pertinent topics. We want to let you know you're not alone in this thing called life's journey. Hopefully, we're going to be with you and walk with you together and encourage you in the ways of the Lord and just have fun while we're doing it. But just say, you know what? Let God be right and every man a liar, right? And it's like, come on. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow live on VFN Radio at 9 a.m. Central and on the loop 24/7 at VFNTV.com or on your iPhone, iPad, Android, and mobile device. God bless. We'll be seeing you tomorrow.